Well, greetings everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report, A Plan for the Future, when we come back. You know, this genocidal policy of Global 2000 and this New World Order are the greatest threats to our lives, our liberties, and our property since Noah's flood. And that's not just my opinion. Jesus of Nazareth held that same view when he said in Matthew 24, verse 22, that except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved alive. Now, there are 64 life-threatening problems described in the Scripture dealing with this New World Order and their Global 2000 genocide agenda. And the Scripture teaches preparation for this great tribulation, not just apathy and indifference. That's why I contend it's time that you and I wise up and start listening more to the God of Israel and stop following after all these crazy scientists and these philosophers and preachers and politicians. And let's prepare to live through and survive this Global 2000 New World Order nightmare. Now, if you'd like to do just that, why don't you call, write, or email the law school. Just ask for those 64 life-threatening problems from the Scripture. And let's talk about formulating a real, meaningful, intelligent plan to survive this Global 2000 and these other 64 life-threatening problems, which are called the Great Tribulation in Scripture. Why don't you just call and order our free general law CD package to start with. That's the place to start. It doesn't cost you anything. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general, and it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and it's free. You can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, our subsistence and survival school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click on the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Now, it's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, in talking about a plan for the future, yet it encompasses the next 10, 15, 20 years. What kind of a world are we going to be living in another 10, 20, or 30 years? You know, people were asking that question, 1929, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34. You know. As time progressed along, the Depression got worse and worse, and people wanted to know, well, when's this thing ever going to be over? What caused it to start with? Why are we suffering like this? Where in the hell is God? What happened to God? A lot of times people die, you know, in a traffic accident or something. They want to know, well, where was God? How come God allowed this? You know, why did God allow this economic collapse? And the answer to that's very, very plain. It's in the Scripture from beginning to end. It's because you won't listen to anything I tell you. You people just simply won't listen. So let me flip over here to the book of Proverbs. There's a story here in Proverbs chapter 1 that deals with this very subject matter of you people don't listen. You don't pay attention. So why do these things happen? He says, because I have called. This is in Proverbs 1 verse 24. He says, because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regardeth. But you have set at naught all of my counsel, and you would have none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity, and I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction comes as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish comes upon you. Then will they call upon me, but I will not answer. And they will seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Eternal. They would none of my reproof, none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproofs. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own ways, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. That's quite a statement. God says, I am going to laugh at your calamity. Now let's go back and let's take a look at this and analyze it a little bit. Could we have known that an economic collapse was coming? Well, listen. Did you know that the Scripture says, in the Ten Commandments, did you know there was a commandment that said, thou shalt not steal? And did you know that there was another instruction that goes along with that that says, you shall not have an unjust weight or balance in your bag? Let me cite that one for you. It's not exactly, that's the way Solomon wrote it, but here in Leviticus 19, 35 and 36, listen to this statement over here. It's talking about our economic system when we're dealing with fiat paper money and stocks and bonds and interest and usury and so on. Listen to this. He says, but you shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in meat yard, in weight, or in measure. Just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and a just hin shall you have. I'm the Eternal your God which brought you out of the land of Egypt. That's not just talking about the butcher putting his thumb on the scale over here. That's talking about just weights and balances. Be honest in your dealings, in your economic dealings. You know, the Federal Reserve prints a $100 bill and it costs 3 cents. They print a $1 bill and it costs 3 cents. Then they go out into the marketplace and they spend it. And they get $100 worth of goods and services. That's $99.97 worth of unjust weights and balances. And then they come along and they say, well, wouldn't you like to participate in that program with us? Wouldn't you like to borrow money from us? Wouldn't you like to have a credit card with $10,000 credit limit on it? And so they have induced Americans and Britons and Australians and Canadians to deal in these unjust weights and balances over here. And, of course, there's a penalty that comes from it, income tax, inflation. There's no such thing here, children, as a broken law without a penalty. Now, it, broken law feels real good. I mean, you can go down to the whorehouse, you know, and one of the girls comes out, and by God, she's good-looking, and she's a lot of fun. You just have a hell of a good time. Now, when it's all over and done with, you know, and your old lady finds out about it and she divorces you, and then you're ending up paying alimony and child support, well, now all of a sudden the results of your adulterous affair with the whore down at Flo's or with the girl down at the bar or whatever it was didn't turn out to be near as good as you thought it was going to be. There's a cause and effect relationship that goes on, you know, with these events. Now, God, throughout the Bible, has given us certain laws and statutes. Let me give you another one over here. People will oftentimes ridicule me. They say, well, you practice those old health laws from the Bible. Well, excuse me, I didn't know that because a law was old that it wasn't good. For instance, thou shalt do no murder has been around for thousands of years. Since when is murdering you something good? Because it's old. When was the last time you woke up and said, God, I'd like to experience a murder today, especially my own? Huh? Come on. The law that says thou shalt do no murder is a good law. It's been around for thousands of years. Came from God himself. Hell, even the state of New York believes in it and practices it. If you can believe that. California is doing the same thing, last I heard. They haven't repealed thou shalt do no murder. They've repealed sodomy laws, you know. They've repealed adultery laws. They repeal a lot of laws, but they hang on to a few of them. Some of them kind of make a little sense, I guess. Now, the Creator gave us these health laws because you probably, you know, if you, unless you've been to medical school, you know, you probably are a medical illiterate. But let me show you some. In Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14, there's some statutes there, and they tell you don't eat fat, don't eat blood, and don't eat pig. Don't eat fat, blood, and pig. Now, why shouldn't you eat fat, blood, and pig? Right? Watch what happens. When you eat fat, it makes you fat. Secondly, the fat contains the toxic waste or materials in the host animal, and you're eating those toxins. So when you eat fat, you eat blood, or you eat pig, your body cannot assimilate it. Dogs can eat it, buzzards can eat it, and that's because they have more hydrochloric acid in their stomachs. So when a dog eats fat, blood, and pig, it's no problem. They're designed to eat it. Buzzards eat fat, blood, and pig, and it's no problem. Human beings can't eat fat, blood, and pig, because if you do, you don't have enough hydrochloric acid in your body to assimilate it. And so your body then picks up these toxins over here, and over time, it doesn't kill you the first day you eat it. I mean, hell, I was eating pickled pig's feet, you know, for years, and it didn't kill me. I'm still kicking. But I quit. I quit in time. So it's kind of like smoking. You know, I used to smoke too, but I quit in time. Unlike John Wayne. See, John Wayne didn't quit in time, and he ended up with lung cancer. See? My grandmother smoked until she was 85, and then she had a stroke, and then she quit smoking, not because she wanted to. It was because she couldn't light up anymore. Her body didn't function anymore. She couldn't light up. Now, God comes along and he says, don't eat skin fish. Now, the Japanese came along and said, well, we can take this skin fish called a puffer fish and we can cut out this poison and we can eat the fish. Okay, I don't deny it. But the overall thrust of the dietary laws in Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14 was to save your life. It was to prevent you from having heart attack, strokes, cancer, and dying from the poison of a puffer fish. So God came up with some very simple, straightforward laws. Says, don't eat skin fish. Eat only fish that have fins and scales. So that eliminates turtles and snakes. Don't eat those. They're bad for you. Now, people, you know, they want to smoke cigarettes. And we used to call them coffin nails when I was a kid. Hey, let me light up. Here, have another coffin nail. And so we'd smoke, you know, and we had a good, well, when you're 19 years old, you got eternal life, you know. Now, as time progressed along, and I took a look at the health effects of smoking, it occurred to me and said, hey, this isn't a very good idea. This is, in fact, it's a bad idea. It causes death. And so God has given us these little gems of wisdom, this information, and we wouldn't listen to him, and we wouldn't hear any of his reproof. Now, there's an ultimate end that comes from that. See? And so, when you get a heart attack, or you have a stroke, or something like that, people get religious, you know, after they have heart attacks and strokes, and they start praying a lot. Do you ever notice that? And God says, I'm going to listen to that crap. You're on your own. You want to go to the medical doctor, and you want to have bypass surgery or heart transplant, go to it. But I'm not going to waste my time on you. And so he's kind of a straightforward guy. He says, listen to this. It's because I've called and you refused. I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. You have said it not all of my counsel, and you would have none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity, and I'll mock when your fear comes. You know, he gave us economic laws, and we said, we're not going to listen to this. We're going to have stocks and bonds. We're going to have fiat paper currency. We're going to have central bank. You know, we're going to practice the fifth plank and the second plank to the Communist Manifesto. To hell with your Ten Commandment model. He said, okay, you're on your own. So that's why we have an economic calamity, an economic collapse. Now, you people, if you want to pray to Jesus, get after it. But he's just told you here, I'm going to laugh at you. I'm not going to pay attention. So pray if you want. I tell my students here, okay, now let's get down to the nitty-gritty. If you want to do something intelligent, let's go back to practicing the Ten Commandment model. Let's get off the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto. Let's get off of plank 5, central banking. Let's get off of plank 2, income tax. Let's get off of plank 8, social security. Let's get off of plank 10, public school. And let's do something more intelligent. Let's see if we can't solve this problem. Now, I tell my students in business school that a depression or a runaway inflation offers great economic and business opportunity. It's going to be a different economic and business opportunity than you've been used to. You know, if you wanted to work at General Motors for $60 an hour, that's a great economic opportunity. But General Motors is coming to an end, and General Motors is going into bankruptcy, and General Motors is going into oblivion. It's going to be destroyed. So if you're working at General Motors today, you should be looking for a new way to make a living. And that's just common sense. Well, you can see that by now, can't you? That this thing is coming to an end. Now, this economic collapse that we're entering into now has only just begun. It has not run its course. We're nowhere near the bottom. We're still in free fall. And there are going to be leveling off periods. And then there's going to be increases in the stock market. It's going to appear like it was happy days are here again. But the overall trend from 1929 to 33 was this. The stock market made its initial break in October of 29, and then in 1930 it regained 64% of its value back. Everybody said, hell, everything's fine. We reached the bottom, we're on our way up, way back up. No, you weren't. The overall decline was 89%. All right, so let's take a look at what's the overall decline of 89% off of 14,000. You know, the stock market hit 14,000. Let's just go times 0.89. And that leaves 12,460. And so let me write down 12,460. And then let's put 14,000 back in here again. And then let's subtract 12,460. And that would leave 1,540. All right, so based upon our experience, not talking about God giving me some revelation last night, just based upon what happened the last time, you can expect the stock market to go down to 1540. All right, now that's great economic opportunity right there, knocking on your door. The stock market, as I speak, is right at 9,000, and it's going down to 1540. So then it would tell you want to short the market. I mean, if you want to play stocks and unjust weights and balances, you should be playing short. On the other hand, if you've got stocks right now, you ought to sell your stocks and then buy something that's going to go up in value, you know, like wheat, corn, beans, onion, and oil. Why do I say buy food? Well, because famine's coming. How do I know famine's coming? Well, I got that from Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26. Now, when people come here to the law school and they say, well, what makes you think there's a famine coming? Well, if you were asking me based upon experience now, I couldn't tell you that because we've never had a famine here in the United States. Australia, New Zealand, you know. Now, you've had some famines in the British Isles, but, you know, you people in the British Isles have been there for a lot longer than we Australians and Canadians and Americans. You know, we've only been here for 200-300 years, you know. You people have been over there in Europe for thousands of years, and you've had a number of famines. You got another one coming. How do I know that? Bible prophecy tells me. God himself says, I promise, I guarantee it. Now, that being the case, you know, the real prophets have in the past come up with some real information. Now, oftentimes religious people say, well, they're talking about Daniel or Paul or Moses, and they call these guys great prophets. These guys didn't know jack diddly squat. Moses couldn't prophesy his way out of a paper bag. He didn't know any more than you and I know. And he said so. And the same thing is true with Daniel and Joseph in Egypt. It is true, the Bible calls them prophets, But of and by themselves, they didn't know jack diddly squat. And Moses could not bring to pass events. He could not look into the future and predict events like Mount St. Helens, or earthquakes increasing in numbers, or famines coming. But he made those predictions. Where did he get his information? That's the key. You know, he got his information from the creator of the universe, the guy who actually has the power to make it happen. There is a God in heaven who reveals secrets of the future. There is a God in heaven that can tell you Mount St. Helens is going to blow up, that Mount Rainier is going to blow up, and it's going to cause a lot of damage. In fact, he told us that. And his representative, Jesus, you know, Jesus of Nazareth, gave the Olivet prophecy in Matthew 24. It's repeated in Mark 13, Luke 21. Then he wrote a whole book called Revelation to explain, to interpret Matthew 24. He wrote the book of Revelation so that you could understand. But the two of them together, you know, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, he put the story together for you. So, George Gordon can't tell you jack diddly squat. Moses can't tell you jack diddly squat. Daniel can't tell you jack diddly squat. But there is a God in heaven that can. Now, how do I know that? Well, it tells you. So, first of all, last time I showed you, you gotta look at the code. The Bible is written in code. That's number one. Now, number two, if you want to understand this code over here, you gotta obey God and keep His commandments. A good understanding of all they who do His commandments. So the people that don't understand jack diddly squat are those that laugh, ridicule, make fun of the Bible, and they don't listen to it, they don't pay attention to it. It's fine. No hard feelings. But when your calamity comes upon you, the God of creation says, "I'm going to laugh at you, jerk." Now, those of us that are sitting on the sidelines saying, well, gee, maybe there is some merit to this. Maybe there is some relevance. Maybe we should take this one step further. So let's do that. Let's go over here to Daniel chapter 12. And Daniel chapter 12. Now, Daniel is a what they call a minor prophet. So you got three major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. And they wrote about future events that are going to take place throughout history, man's history. That's, history is simply a contraction of two words. It's his story. History is the story of man. It's his story. Now, the prophecy is history being written in advance. It's written by the Creator who says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to affect world history. I am going to cause certain things to happen. I'm going to raise up empires, civilizations. I'm going to create wars and chaos. I'm going to do that. And I'm going to tell you in advance that I'm going to do that. And then when you see that actually happen, when you see that come to pass, you will know that the God of heaven has spoken. Okay, that's the purpose for Bible prophecy. Of course, you know, the skeptic, he comes along, he says, I don't believe a word of it. The hell do we care? What do we care? I listen to the TV every once in a while, and some of these pastors, and they get kind of emotional, you know. Won't you just pray and give your heart to Jesus today? You know, they want you to join this or that church, and they want you to give money, and then do this and that and another thing, you know. Politicians do the same thing. Won't you just vote for me? As if they're going to solve all of our problems. See, they tell you they're going to solve your problems. Tell you your problems are bad now and they're getting worse. They were bad 10 years ago and they got worse, sure enough. Now, if you would obey God and keep His commandments, then there's a benefit that comes from that. I'll talk about that a little later. That's what our plan for the future is all about. Because it's bad now and it's going to get worse, and so we need a little better plan than the average Joe Sixpacker. We're going to have to repeat the same mistakes and go through the same traumas that we went through in the last Great Depression. My granddaddy told me it was a god-awful time. God-awful time. Now, he lived through it, and so I want to be a little smarter than my granddaddy. Instead of me having to live through it, What I want to do is learn from his mistake so that I can profit from it. And boy, there's lots of money to be made. There's lots of profits that come out of Great Depressions on the backs of and based upon all of the agony that other people are going through. You know, when you buy a house for $400,000 and then there's an economic collapse and the value of your house goes down to $50,000, and then I come in and buy that house at $50,000 and then the market takes it back up to $150,000 and I sell it, well, then I make a $100,000 profit at the very same time that you take a $350,000 loss. So I make my $150,000 profit off of your $350,000 loss. And you can sit there and say, I don't understand why God would do that to me. He did it to you because you practiced usury and interest, didn't practice the economic laws, and you wouldn't obey God and keep his commandments. And so what goes around comes around. And so there's a penalty to pay. You pay the penalty. I obey God, keep his commandments, pay cash, do it in gold, don't pay usury and interest, and I make money. It's just that simple. No big mystery. Now, it's been going on that way for thousands of years. Now, unfortunately, you went to public school, got a letter after your name, and there's a lot of ignorance, out there. Well, listen to this Daniel over here in Daniel chapter 12. He wanted to know what the end of this was going to be. And the angel, he's talking to an angel here. This angel, by the way, has got a name. His name is Michael the Archangel. He's talking to Big Mike here, see. And in verse 9, it said, and he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are sealed and closed up till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. All right, now remember we learned this yesterday. Psalm 111:10, a good understanding of all they who do his commandments. Those who do his commandments are called righteous. Those who do not do his commandments are called wicked. And none of the wicked shall understand. So, you wicked people out there, you people that will not obey God and keep his commandments, will not understand this economic crisis. And you're going to be broken and snared and taken. That's the way life is. Now, you're going to sit there and say, well, why would God do that? Well, because he's got an agenda. He's working out a plan here. Working out a plan. He's got a big idea. And he's been working on it now for about 6,000 years. And he's not through yet. He still has another 1,100 years out into the future yet that he's working out this plan. Now, when he gets to the end of 7,100 years, he will have completed phase one. Now he's ready for phase two of an overall plan that includes you. In fact, everybody in the world has a place in this chessboard. And no matter who you are, you can be Barack Obama, the new president of the United States, or you can be a peon in Mexico just working to scratch out a living. And you've got a place in this overall game plan. You know, some of us can learn a little easier than others. Now, I set my mind years ago to trying to figure out, you know, how do I learn this without having to experience it? He says, many shall be purified. Now, listen, in verse 8, Daniel said, and I heard and I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? Daniel wanted to understand what the hell was going on. He wrote these 12 chapters. It's not a very long book, 12 chapters. But it's one of the more important books in the Scripture. In fact, the Messiah cited Daniel the prophet. And this chapter 12 in Matthew 24, he says, when you see the abomination of desolation come, he said, you'll know that the second coming is very close at hand. So, I'm an old man now, and I'm sitting here telling you, the second coming is very close at hand. When is it going to happen? I had a guy the other day. He said, when is Jesus coming back? When is Jesus coming back? And I said, I don't know. And he said, but Mr. Gordon, you understand prophecy, and you understand the Bible. When is Jesus coming back? I said, I don't know. Jesus was asked that very same question. He said he didn't know. Now, boys and girls, if Jesus does not know when he's coming back, how in the hell is George Gordon going to know? If the boss himself doesn't know the answer, how does the servant know? I don't know any more than my master. And he said he didn't know. And he told us plainly. He said, the Father knows, and only the Father knows, and when he's ready, he'll send me back. Meanwhile, back on the farm, I don't know. That was Jesus. I didn't say that. I'm just a reporter. So don't write me an email and say, when's Jesus coming back? Because George Gordon doesn't know. But, he said, you can tell when it's going to rain. You know, you can read the signs in the heavens. And he said, when you see these things come to pass, in Matthew 24, he said, when you see these things occurring, when you're reading about this in USA Today and listening to Brian Williams' report on it, says you'll know that your redemption is nigh. It's getting close. Which, you know, in historical times, you know, or terms, if you're talking about 10, 20, 30 years, you know, that's a long time. But the 30 years, you know, in the overall scheme of things is a blip. It's not a very long period of time at all. So when we're talking about this great tribulation coming down, this is a prophecy that the great tribulation is only 1,260 days. It's only 3.5 years. And 30 prophecies in the Bible. In fact, most of Bible prophecy is aimed at this period of time called 1,290 days or 1,260. Then there's 1,335 days. There's some times and times and half a times and some mysteries here that we'll see if we can clear up as we progress along over here. But Bible prophecy primarily is aimed at world ruling geopolitics. It's international geopolitics at its peak. And it's aimed at a period of time called the Great Tribulation or Jacob's Trouble, which we're just about to enter into, if we're not already in it. I'm going to sit here and say, hell, maybe we're already in it and don't know it. And when the Messiah comes back, if you think there's going to be some great signs in the sky or something like that, read Matthew 24 again. He said, you know, people are going to be marrying and giving in marriage and going to work. And then comes the second coming. Like a thief in the night. A total surprise. When the second coming occurs, you are going to be totally amazed. And so will I. Just totally amazed. Well, I didn't think he's coming back today. That's why you have the parable of the 10 virgins, you know. You're either ready for it or you're not. And when it comes down, there's going to be some people ready for it, and there's going to be most people are not ready for it. And that's going to be a total surprise to everybody, including those that are ready. And I've got to give you a reminder here so that we can satisfy the Federal Communications Commission around the world. There's more than one. By reminding you that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review, and we're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we are heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. And if you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, that's 8 schools in all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives, all of which can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse or recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. But these endorsements and recommendations that we give out don't mean that the authors and publications that we endorse necessarily agree with us or are going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program, they're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, the beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. But if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, then go to our website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, duty's done. Back to play. This guy Daniel was a pretty significant prophet, short and to the point. Didn't write 40, 50, 60 chapters, you know, like Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. But he wrote 12 of the more geopolitical statutes or geopolitical stories in the Bible. And he talked about world-ruling empires like the Babylonian Empire, the Persian Empire, the Greek Empire, and then the Roman Empire. And these empires have come, and now they've gone. You know, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. But Daniel wrote a prophecy that takes us right up to the second coming. And that's why Daniel wanted to know what the outcome of this was. And he said, I heard and I understood not. Daniel wrote this and said, I don't understand it, boss. And so, here's God himself. He says, go your way, Daniel, because the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. All right, so, during the Middle Ages, people couldn't understand it. During the 1600s and 1700s and 1800s and 1900s and 2000s, people couldn't understand it. But now we're getting up here close to the end of the age. And now it's time to understand it. And of course, you know, hindsight's 20/20. You know, Monday morning quarterbacks, you know, can tell you exactly how to play Sunday's game. Hell, we're all of us now able to take a look at the Great Depression of the 1930s. Now you can take a look at our position today, and people are understandably nervous. And are we going to have a Great Depression? Yes. Are we going to have a hyperinflation? Yes. Is this going to be the catalyst for World War III? Yes. Are we going to have nuclear bomb war? Yes. How do you know that? Because that's what Bible prophecy tells us. Well, how do you know Bible prophecy is going to come to pass? It's always come to pass in the past. What makes you think it's going to fail in the future? Bible prophecy has always been accurate in the past. It's accurate today. And there isn't any reason to think that it isn't going to be accurate tomorrow, next week, and next year. Is there bad news coming up? Oh, God. Terrible. Scary. Hey, I'm an old man and ready to die, and I'm scared. I like that, though. George Patton had a word for that. He says, any man that says he's not scared of combat is either a liar or a fool. I never paid any attention much, you know, to the Army. I wasn't in the military, but I like that. I think George Patton was a trained killer. George Patton was a trained Army killer. And he said that he gets excited when he gets into combat. He gets nervous. He gets scared. You know, there's bullets flying around and all that possibility of getting killed at any second. But he said, God, the adrenaline flows. Speaking of war, Patton said he loved it. He said, God, it's exhilarating. He just loved it. And he was a very successful military man. And same thing is true here of the Scripture. You know, I love the Scripture. I love it because it's exhilarating. I mean, it's trying. In fact, Jesus said of the time coming up right now, the time that we're in and the time that's immediately in front of us, he said there's been nothing like it in the history of the world. He said not even Noah's flood is going to compare with the Great Tribulation. Boy, that's a mystery to me. I can't quite figure that out. You've got an event here that kills everybody in the world but eight people. The Great Tribulation is not going to kill everybody in the world. It's going to kill 90%. So I've been thinking about that, and I said, 90%? My God, there's 6.5 billion people in the world. You know, pushing 7 billion. And then we're going to kill 90% of 7 billion people on planet Earth. God, you talk about a... In fact, Revelation 6 talks about killing 1/4 of everybody in the world with one event, famine. Talks about killing 1/4 of the people, the 4 horsemen of the apocalypse. Hey, boys and girls, when you're watching people die by the hundreds of millions out here, you know that's going to be a real event. And you're going to wonder if you're going to be next. And you're going to wonder if this is going to happen to you. And the answer is, yeah, it's going to happen to you. It's going to happen to you. Now, there's some exceptions to that. I'll tell you what the exception is here. I'm going to go over here to Daniel chapter 2, put my little ribbon in there. Flip over here to Psalms. Write this down if you're driving down the road or try to make a mental image of it. Psalm about 90, 91. Let me flip back here a little bit. 101. Here we are, 92. He said, it's in Psalm 91, verse 7. He said, 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come nigh to you. That's an important statement there. We're entering a period of time when World War III and nuclear bomb war is going to kill people by the hundreds of millions, 90%. It's just coincidental here that the New World Order gang, you know, the Illuminati, and the Georgia Guidestones, you ever heard of the Georgia Guidestones? What they're aiming for here with this New World Order is to eliminate 90% of the population of the world that they call useless eaters. Useless eaters. That's people like you and me. You and me. You know, man gets to be 70 years old, you know, there's not much potential left in him. They need to get rid of people like me. And so they want to eliminate 90%. God said in Isaiah, I think it's 6, verse 13. Check me out. Isaiah 6, 13. It says, I'm going to save a tithe of you alive. A little clue there. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. So God says he's going to save 10%. And the New World Order gang says that they want to eliminate 90%. 90 and 10 equals 100. Okay? Checks out. Everybody's in agreement. So you want to ask me, you know, what do you think, Mr. Gordon? Do you think that they're going to kill 90% of the people on the planet? Yep, absolutely. No doubt in my mind. And I want to be in that 10% that survives it. How can I be in that 10%? By obeying God and keeping his commandments. And he says right here, 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come to you. All right. Now back over here in Daniel chapter 2. Daniel was a humble kind of a guy. You know, he wasn't a big loudmouth like preachers are today. And in Daniel 4, verses 24 through 26, he says this prophecy comes from God. And listen to this. Daniel 4, verse 24. See if I can find it over here. Daniel 4. I said Daniel 2. I lied to you again here. So let's go over to Daniel 4, verses 24 through 26. See if I can find verses 24. There's 23. Here we are. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High God, the king, that they shall drive you from that they shall drive you from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And they shall make you to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of the heaven, and seven times shall pass over you, till you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that you shall have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, and it shall be, if it be, a lengthening of thy tranquility. Okay, now Nebuchadnezzar was the world-ruling empire. I mean, this is the Babylonian Empire. He says, hey, God is going to take away from you your kingdom, and he is going to make you insane for 7 years, but he's going to restore you to your position again. And he did. And then he restored Nebuchadnezzar to his position. And old Nebuchadnezzar, he said, now I know who it is that rules in the heavens. He said, now I know. And so if you want to know why Barack Obama is sitting on the presidency of the United States, it's because the God of heaven has allowed it to happen. You want to know why George Bush was there? George Bush was allowed by God to sit on that throne, and he's going to be removed. And God sets kings on their thrones, and he removes kings from their thrones, and he moves international geopolitics so that it fulfills the overall game plan that he has already set up, and which is not predestination by any stretch of the imagination. You still have your free moral agency. But in order to make this thing work out, you know, somebody has to have the power to do this. And this God over here, he has the power to do this. So people, you know, they knock on my door and say, well, what do you think's going to happen over here, you know, or how is this going to work out over here? Now, in Daniel 2, verses 28 and 29, I did have a reference here in Daniel 2, 28 and 29. Listen to this. He said, but there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets, and he makes known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed are these. And as for you, O king, your thoughts came into your mind upon your bed. What should come to pass hereafter? And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to you what shall come to pass. And so now Daniel goes on to reveal the king's dream. And he talks about these world-ruling empires, you know, the Greek Empire, Babylonian Empire. And he had this big image over here, and he said, "This, you're the head of gold on this image. And down here at the bottom here is the Roman Empire. Looking back in history, we can see, yep, that's exactly how that came down. Now, when we take a look at the major prophets then, like Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, and especially Ezekiel, who's the guy that prophesies this nuclear bomb war coming. Now, some time back, I did a story here for you, and it was called Dead Men's Secrets. If you go back in our archives, and you can listen to those programs, Dead Men's Secrets. There's a story in there of 25 sites, or 27 sites, I forget exact, 27 maybe, 28, around the world where we have fused glass. Now, the only place that you find fused glass, F-U-S-E-D, fused, that is, melted glass, is at nuclear bomb sites. At Alamogordo, New Mexico, when they torched off that nuclear bomb, you know, in 1945, down at the bottom of the tower, it melted with fervent heat the elements themselves into glass. There's 25 or 26, 27, 28 of those sites around the world that archaeologists have discovered. Boys and girls, we've had nuclear weapons in the past, and they've been used. That's the bottom line to that. And I told you where and when and how it happened, and it was right after the flood, the Tower of Babel, and nuclear weaponry was known, and it was used. And Ezekiel says that your cities are laid waste. And there's only two cities that have been laid waste with nuclear weapons, Hiroshima and Nagasaki. It's coming again. And I think it's coming to Houston, Texas, New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, the big, you know, Seattle, San Francisco. Now, for you people there in New Orleans and San Francisco, those are the two sodomite kingdoms of the world. Of all the cities in the world filled with sodomites, those two, New Orleans and San Francisco, stand out. And in the Bible, in Bible prophecy, God, who destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and brimstone, I think is going to do the same thing to New Orleans and San Francisco. Now, I don't know that positively. I mean, I can't sit here and say, Jesus gave me a vision last night. But if I was going to bet on two cities that need to be nuked like Sodom and Gomorrah at San Francisco and New Orleans, and for that very reason, sodomy. So I'm going to sit back and say, I think that if I lived in New Orleans or San Francisco, I think I would sell now and move out. Sell now and move out. Now, if you haven't sold, see, the top of the real estate market now was in 2005. In fact, it occurred in the month of June. Now, there's another wise old head, a wise old hand here. I'm going to promote his newsletter here. It's Bob Chapman, the international forecaster. And this guy, Bob Chapman, now, he's not getting into Bible prophecy. I've never seen any Bible prophecy in any of his newsletters. But he's an old man with gray hair, and he's using experience. And he says, you can predict the top of the markets, you know, with reasonable certainty. And when a market is turning from a bull to bear, and about how it's going to work out based upon history. It's just like looking at the Titanic. You know, if you were on a ship and the captain of the ship was trying to set a new transatlantic record by sailing a ship at 25 miles an hour through 5,000 square miles of icebergs, you know, you could say, you know, I think you're going to come up with about the same result that Captain Smith came up with the Titanic when he tried that, which is what my daddy told me. He said, son, the next time you come up with one of these harebrained schemes, run it by me first so I can tell you how it came out when I tried it. I don't think selling a ship, you know, at 25 miles an hour through 5,000 square miles of icebergs is a very wise decision. Captain Smith tried it, didn't work for him, and it's not likely that it's going to work any better for you than it worked out for him, but, you know, don't let me get in the way of your happiness and success. Now, fortunately for all of us, we have a God in heaven, and Daniel over here says there is a God in heaven that reveals these secrets. Notice Daniel didn't say, look, come listen to me. My name is Rasputin, and I've got these supernatural powers of predicting the future. He said, hell, I don't know what's going to happen, but there is a God in heaven that does, and he doesn't know it because he's guessing. He knows it because he's going to bring it to pass. He's going to make you insane, Neb, for 7 years, and then he's going to restore you to your throne. Now, how many people have gone crazy, you know, so at the pinnacle of power, and then been deposed from their thrones and then replaced on their thrones? One. In all of history, one. Nebuchadnezzar. And the creator of the universe said, this is what I'm going to do. And now all you people are going to know about that. Alexander the Great came along. Alexander was a flash in the pan, 3 or 4 years, and it was all over for him. Died when he was about 30 years old, 35 years old. Young man, conquered the world. And then his kingdom was divided into four. Daniel talks about that, how that kingdom was going to be divided into four parts. He talks about the Roman Empire and its deadly wound being healed. So Bible prophecy has been very accurate in the past. In fact, Bible prophecy is very accurate going on right in front of your eyeballs today as I speak. So next time we'll take a look at Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21. I'll show you that going on right now today. Oftentimes people write me the letters and their emails and they'll say, now, what in the hell makes you think that's going to happen? or what makes you think the Bible is true, accurate, and correct? Well, Bible prophecy is the single most important proof of the accuracy of Scripture. When somebody can tell you what's going to happen, not just by guess. You know, you could have predicted the Titanic was going to come to a no good end by the way the ship was being sailed and the way it was being handled. By experience, we could have made that prediction. You cannot predict from experience that there is a massive famine coming to the United States or that nuclear bomb war is coming here. There's been no experience like that. And in fact, if you take a look at the world today and international geopolitics, it's the last thing in the world that you'd expect to happen to the United States, Australia, Canada, and Great Britain. Nuclear bomb war. You would not believe it. There's no precedent for it. There's no reason to believe such a thing. Except that. There's no reason to believe that Nebuchadnezzar is going to go insane for 7 years, be deposed from his throne, and then be restored. There's no reason to believe that then. But that's what God said, and by God it happened. Now, when God tells you, now this is what I'm going to do, and you people don't listen, he says, I'm going to laugh at your calamity. I'm going to laugh at you. You know, you want to give me the finger? No, I'll laugh at you. So now, I come along on the scene and I say, well listen, don't you think maybe we could learn a lot from the last Great Depression? Don't you think we might be able to learn a lot from Bible prophecy and paying attention? It doesn't cost you anything. I mean, it isn't like, you know, you have to write a check here, you know, for half of what you got in the bank, or that you have to sell your wife or your kids or something over here. It doesn't take very much, you know, to pay attention. In fact, it doesn't cost anything to stop eating pig. It doesn't cost you anything to stop eating fat and blood. To comply with those health laws isn't going to take anything out of your life. It's going to add a lot to it, because you can't add any more hydrochloric acid to your stomach. Well, I guess that's not true. You can take hydrochloric acid tablets, but, well, you know, might be helpful to you. I mean, you know, you could have a dose of pig or a dose of fat and take some extra hydrochloric acid. I don't know what that'll do. Too much hydrochloric acid in your stomach, you know, might cause something like ulcers or something like that. So, tuck it away in your heart. So your creator comes along and says, hey, let me tell you a little better dietary regime over here. If you practice this, you'll have good health. If you're not going to practice the dietary laws of the Bible, you need health insurance. And that's what Barack Obama's promising you. He says, you need health insurance, and I'm going to give it to you. And I don't deny it. You know, if you people are going to eat fat, blood, and pig, you need health insurance. There's no two ways about it. You're going to get sick. How do I know that? Because take a look at the sickness and disease running around us, and those are all people that eat fat, blood, and pig. Then when you take a look at religious groups that don't eat fat, blood, and pig, they live longer and they have less disease. Isn't that just special? The Jews, for instance, here's a good one for you. The Jews practice circumcision and have the lowest incidence of penile cancer in the world. And the Chinese, who do not practice circumcision, have the highest rate of penile cancer in the world. Is circumcision a good practice? I think it is. Makes all the sense in the world to me. Now, penile cancer isn't all that common to start with. I think it represents 14% of all cancer in the world. 14%, it's nothing to sneeze at. That's, you know, 1 out of 7. That's pretty significant. But the Jews don't have any. You know, once in a while one pops up, but it's very, very rare. Hey, I'm about out of time here again, kids. I'm going to have to leave it right there, and we'll take a look at Matthew 24 next time. How's that? So, meanwhile, let me remind you that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the internet and radio. Now, if you'd like more information about the law school or the Law Hour, you can go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Prearrangement. And the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. And the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the internet by title and date for your listening convenience. Hey, we're out of time. Going to have to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.